Hello and welcome to Tantra FM. Today we shall be dealing with the following subjects. What do men do after a separation? What about women? It is not a joke, but men really do come from Mars and women from Venus. Men cheat. This is not a news-breaking thing, yet it is an everlasting question mark in every woman's head. Why do they do that? Understanding this means acquiring the power to change things for the better. We shall then continue to guide you into the realm of meditation by teaching you how to conquer your mind. Afterwards, we shall elaborate some more on Ajna Chakra. Stay tuned and find out how to amplify this chakra by using proper musical support. Our yogi hosts Amaris and Valentina will also keep you company.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. Women and men, what is different? You're still wondering whether to take his picture out of the frame, and he's already replaced yours. Why do men get over breaking up more easily than women? The week after your separation, your ex is already having dinner with another woman, right in your favorite restaurant. Meanwhile, you still toss in bed at night and weep on the shoulders of your friends. The only accepted explanation among women is that men are heartless bastards and that women are just out of luck. It is commonly accepted that men get over the inherent regrets of separation. It's because from the very beginning, men get involved less in a relationship and are not afraid of loneliness, while women are most often too afraid to move on. When a relationship ends, men usually go out and get drunk, without really over-discussing it, and if asked, change the subject. They don't blame themselves, throwing the blame, if they do seek someone to blame, on the woman, on the circumstances, on fate, on everything else but themselves. The general conception is that the relationship is a failure, and this has nothing to do with him. They don't think, if I weigh 10 pounds less, if his parents like me more, this relationship might have had a better course. A man simply goes out with the first eligible woman, because for him, life goes right on. Women, on the contrary, feel this maddening urge to complain to their friends about the unjust fate or the possibility of not having been up to the standards of that relationship. Women need comfort, caresses, endless discussions about things they could have done in order to save the relationship, but they didn't. Then they cry their hearts out. Women feel like losers after each relationship that comes to an end, regardless if it's truly insignificant. Well, women agree that he was the bastard. But if only I had been thinner, maybe he would have stayed with me. Etc., etc. Women usually imagine that they will end up being lonely for the rest of their lives. We believe it's high time you stop taking the blame for everything and defeat him with his own weapons. What men do after a breakup. 1. Do things to keep your mind off the situation. However, the main point here is not to get drunk, but to get out of the house as much as possible. The lack of activity implies introspection, and he knows he doesn't need that at this moment. Therefore, turning away his attention is better than over-discussing the issue and sinking deeper into it. 2. They do not discuss it. There is no point in discussing it. Men consider the words, "it's over," as stop and act in consequence, meaning that their pattern of thinking is less complicated. When they're again alone, they do what they have to do. Go out for women. 3. The relationship is a failure, not them. For most men, the relationship is distinct from both partners. If the relationship is not working, it's not because of him. In fact, its failure forces him to seek a relationship that might actually work. Owing to this, men do not lose their self-confidence, do not cry, do not act different when in the company of others. Moreover, and most importantly, they do not fear a recurrence of their mistakes, because in the first place, they made none. 4. Men do not fear that they will not find somebody else. When making a couple, man and woman start from different standpoints. Men always know that they can have other relationships at any time, while the women tend to get totally involved in the present relationship and disregard any other thing the future holds in store for them, even if it actually might prove to be better than what they previously had. 5. Go out with the first eligible woman, or not necessarily eligible, but always available. Owing to their need to prove, equally to himself as well as to his friends, that he is on top of things, he gets involved with the first woman who comes his way. Hey, life goes on. What women do after a breakup? 1. Desperately cry out for friends. Friends are an important source of comfort, but at the same time, the endless discussions about what happened force you to introspection. Introspection is useful if you're still lucid and able to draw a clear line, but may hurt you. And in many cases, it really is poisoning if you only resume yourself to regrets. 2. Don't eat to forget. While you pour out your regrets, you also eat a lot of cookies, chocolate, and so on. Some weeks later, you're still depressed and looking your worst. 3. Discussions. All those endless complaints and analysis have as clear consequences your repeated self-infliction with pain and victimization. Remember that vulnerability is also a personal choice. 4. Unlike men, women feel they bear a certain responsibility in this relationship's failure, and they perceive the end of it as a catastrophe for which they are responsible. This is not true, so you'd better get over it. Cheating, mere manly instinct, or incurable disease? Men cheat. This is not a news-breaking title, but rather one of the everlasting question marks in every woman's head. Why do they do it? What is the impulse behind it? What is the drive for their constantly wanting more? For their wanting a blonde, a brunette, a hot redhead, a voluptuous or thin woman? Only one that is different from the one they already have. In the following, we will try to analyze some of the reasons that drive men out of their established routes towards unknown universes. First of all, we wish to make it clear that all women, famous or not, beautiful or less appealing, tall or short, blonde or dark, have gone through this. They've all wondered, undoubtedly, what makes men want to cheat. Let us see if you find some answers in here. We will analyze the following situations, which, if handled incorrectly, might lead to the cheating disaster. First, there is the case in which you and your partner have dated each other since high school. You were pretty and idealistic. He was young, shy, probably wearing glasses. You fell in love, made love for the first time to one another, and finally, without exactly knowing why, you got married. To your high school sweetheart, of course. Things seemed perfect. The perfect love meant to last forever, the union of two souls who had sworn love and fidelity to each other. But now comes the question. In fact, it is his question, rather. For how long can he be faithful to one woman, considering the fact that she's also the first in his affective, erotic, and probably, but not necessarily, mental universe? How long till he starts wondering whether she really is the right one, the one everybody talks about, if he doesn't have anything or rather anybody else to compare her with? How does he know that you're really all he needs? And how do you know he's all you really need? Sexual compatibility, communication, understanding, now seem mere words, without a firm basis to support them. The sad part is that sometimes he looks at you as if he had to engulf an unappetizing dish. At other times, you might return the favor, unfortunately. When the alternative arises, disregarding the fact that she might not be as smart, as beautiful, and appealing as you are, you clearly see her most poignant quality. She is different. What's to do? Surprise him in every way you can. Change your haircut, change your hair color, buy him unexpected presents, do crazy things together, anything that will show him a different you, and that will enliven your relationship. Another situation is a bit of a tragic one. If you fall for the Casanova or the Don Juan, he's the kind of man used to standing in the spotlight, always in the center of attention, always the most charming, the most fascinating figure anyone has ever seen. He's so sure of himself that he dares to undress you with his eyes in the very presence of your boyfriend. You feel embarrassed, and yet so good. Flattered, and you make your first mistake. You kind of find him nice, and you begin to like him. You say to yourself that, still, he's not as conceited as he seems, that he's actually kind of cute. Finally, all the excuses which you, as a woman, can possibly find in order to justify that heating sensation coming up from your belly. And you may easily figure out the rest. You fall head over heels in love, because of course, he knows how to treat a woman from all points of view. Well, let's take a look into the mysteries of history and search for Casanova. What do we see? A youngster of 14, madly in love with a girl. It's not quite what you expected, right? But wait, one night, the story goes, he finally believes he found the opportunity to squeeze inside the girl's bedroom, but he meets her boyfriend's strong foot at the door. Humiliated, he seems to have tried to find his revenge all his life. So, if you really fall for this kind of guy, you have two possibilities. One, be another trophy in his gallery, and two, defeat him with his own weapons.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. Meditation Guide, Conquest of the Mind. The mind can be controlled by Abhyasa and Vairagya. Abhyasa is constant effort to fix the mind on God or Atman. Vairagya is dispassion or non-attachment to sensual objects. Inquire, who am I? Do vichara, do mental japa with om and meditate on Atman. All thoughts will die by themselves. You will soon rest in Sat Chit Ananda, or Atman. Sit alone and watch the vrittis of your mind. Be indifferent. Remain as a sakshi. Do not identify yourself with the vrittis. The mind will soon come under your control. Destroy the fuel of desire. The fire of thought will soon be extinguished. The annihilation of sankalpa, the reality of Brahman, will shine. Cultivate divine qualities such as friendliness, mercy, gladness, and indifference towards happiness, pain, virtue, and vice. You will attain peace of mind this way. Do not think of the past. Do not plan for the future. Do not allow the mind to build images. Live in the solid present. Do a thing which the mind does not want to do. Do not do a thing which the mind wants to do. Do not try to fulfill your desires. Do not hope. Do not expect anything. Destroy the vicious desires through virtuous desires, and destroy the virtuous desires through one strong desire for liberation. Practice of pranayama destroys rajas and tamas. It makes the mind steady and focused. Study religious books. Perform tapases. Charity and satsanga with mahatmas, sadhus, and sannyasins, thus overhauling vicious worldly samskaras and paving the road towards control of your mind. Japa with any mantra and upasana destroy the impurities of the mind. Make the mind focus inward, induce vairagya, help concentration, and eventually lead to control of the mind and attainment of God consciousness. Kalau Kesava Kirtanat. In this Kali Yuga, the easiest way of controlling the mind and attaining moksha is kirtan, or singing the name of the Lord. Food also influences the mind. Sattvic food such as milk and fruits calms the mind. Rajasic food such as meat, alcohol, etc. excites the mind. Tamas should be avoided entirely if possible. So have sattvic food and maintain mitahara, which means moderation in your diet. Destroy evil habits by establishing good habits. Control the lower instinctive mind through the higher sattvic mind. Constant and selfless service with Atma Bhava is highly efficient in purifying and controlling your mind. Do not wrestle or struggle with the mind. Be perseverant in your concentration and meditation. May peace, joy, bliss, and immortality abide in you forever and ever. Seven gates towards the universe. Sixth gate, Ajna Chakra. Part 2. Ajna Chakra, the eye of inner vision. The real opening of the third eye equals the combination of analysis and discrimination, characterizing the right hemisphere of the brain with the opening of and direct access to the intuitive world, characterizing the left hemisphere of the brain. This means ending both sterile intellectualization and the superstition of fantasy-like premonitions. The awakening of Ajna Chakra is the harmonious union of these two ways of knowledge into one. On the path of spiritual evolution, the devotee who aspires to reach supreme perfection will gradually progress through various mental levels, which are identified by the great yogis as follows: the ordinary mental, the superior mental, the illuminated mental, the intuitive mental, and the supramental. These different levels correspond to deeper and deeper awakenings of the consciousness and allow access to increasingly elevated mental levels. From a fragmented vision of reality, one can gradually reach a sublime overall view. On this superior level, there is a constant state of enthusiasm and happiness, accompanied by a spontaneous blossoming of one's own creative capacities. It is also known that the awakening and harmonious activation of Ajna Chakra leads to control of the sexual energies corresponding to the second center of force, Svadhisthana Chakra. The perception corresponding to the sixth center of force is a global, unifying, and divine one. The person that reaches this level of consciousness contemplates phenomena, things, and creatures not only by their appearances, but also by their essence, understanding their very source of being and manifestation. Each time I try to describe the spiritual states and vision I experience when I pass through this place, Vishuddha Chakra, and attempt to climb higher, at the very moment I think about them, my mind seems to evaporate into the infinite and makes any description of this level impossible. However, in the case in which a certain person reaches the level of consciousness belonging to Ajna Chakra, remains focused there, then that person has the direct knowledge of the Supreme Self, or Atman. For this person, there is only a transparent veil, like silk, separating him or her from the Supreme Self. The Supreme Self is so close, then, that one might think that they are one with it. But even so, the total union with God has not happened yet. However, it is extremely close and will follow soon. Ramakrishna. For a better understanding of the center of force, we have prepared a set of terms. Genius. Gift inherited from a previous existence. Exceptional creative mental capacity in a field. In ancient times, genius usually meant, as Socrates confesses before the Athenian court, that inner voice that guides the existential trajectory of special people. Later on, genius referred to the unique vocation in performing certain works of art, works that are close to perfection, competing with the perfection of nature itself. The works of Mr. Kant usually include the term genius in the aforementioned way. It usually designates the highest degree of natural endowment, with spontaneity, fantasy, intelligence, and the capacity of understanding the deeper meaning of the world, coupled with self-giving, sensitivity, intuition, and so on. Intelligence, a term that characterizes the insight and the characteristic function of the mind to quickly establish connections between various aspects of manifestation. This is also what the etymology of the word intelligence suggests. Interlegere, uniting two senses, that of discriminating and that of connecting. Self-control, the mechanism and the mental capacity of following one's own behavior, especially of one's impulsive reactions, to ponder, change, or stop these reactions and to come back to normal. Self-control is a fundamental aspect of yoga. Self-observation, a superior trait of the consciousness through which the human being systematically follows the development of his or her own personality. It needs to be directed upon both spiritual ideas and experiences, as well as upon the complex effects derived from them. Objectivity, self-criticism, and increased exigency are necessary conditions to turn self-observation into an effective means of self-education in the yogic practice. Introspection, view or perception oriented towards the interior, towards one's own states and inner experiences. Above all, this term defines a real, genuine phenomenon or dimension of the psyche. In the perception of the object is also included the self-perception of the observer. In the knowledge of the world is also implied the knowledge of oneself. Self-awareness and the awareness of the world are impossible to be separated. The inner experiences reunite the inner part of one's own being with the outer part. Introspection is an important method in yoga because with it, one becomes aware of and can examine and describe one's own mental and inner spiritual experiences. Through superior introspection, the human being can easily reach the revelation of the Supreme Self, or Atman.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: amplifying the sixth center of force, Ajna Chakra. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Focus your attention between your eyebrows, which represents the projection of Ajna Chakra in your physical body. This chakra represents the superior mental consciousness, which allows the direct perception of the invisible worlds and of the subtler aspects of manifested universe. It induces and controls a superior form of intuition, clairvoyance, extrasensory perceptions, the ability to anticipate certain events that have yet to happen, and the instantaneous ability to perceive all the qualities of any human being. The harmonious activation of Ajna Chakra grants mental insight, telepathic capacities, self-control, mental understanding through intellectual identification, and creative intelligence. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: amplifying the sixth center of force, Ajna Chakra. Let us begin. Thank you.
That concludes our broadcast. Have a nice day, everyone.